Not quite.
I think you're still out there. Come on, good go.
This is a workshop. It's not a lecture. Should we close the door or just leave it open? I think we need it for...
Maybe crack it, you want me?
Well,
that work?
No, I don't think the noise will bother. Okay. Does it bother you all?
No, no, really. No, no.
I think probably the air will help with all.
Okay. I thought we'd just ask about four questions, and I think they'll pretty well cover the topic.
Two. Come right in.
Come in.
Let's get right in here.
Thank you, sir.
If anybody clicks in it, he's going to get hurt. He's going to be right here. Can I come in this room, sir?
If y'all add to the discussion. Y'all make fun of
him? Yes.
We got all of us. Did you think going to give some more support?
I think they're in here.
They should be down. The West Virginia clique's in here.
Come on, you guys. Get out.
What's
on the
evening?
Come on in, join our clique.
Better grab one, but I can't.
Is this one of the cliques I can get
yes,
in?
Yes, sir. We got room here. Can you shove over just one more seat?
We can talk about it.
There's one over there, isn't there?
There's
one back there alongside of Walter. We have one here for Brother Over, please. Then we'll have to close the door.
Oh, we've got one out over there.
Fresh air from somewhere.
Yeah, we...
Pretty soon we'll have to feature on the door.
Yeah, sure. is there anybody at the door coming in? Okay. What is click? What would you say a click was?
An inner circle.
That's good. It's a circle small, exclusive within a larger circle. That's about what the Webster said. Yes. But is a small group always a click?
Always.
Yes.
Only when it excludes others.
Right. And if it's within a larger, for instance, all of our assemblies probably started small, but we were doing everything to reach out to bring others in rather than have a narrow group within ourselves. Would you say it always has a bad connotation, or does it generally have a bad connotation?
I don't think it starts necessarily bad, but the...
When it is a click?
If it really is a click, then it does.
Yes, I think so, and I think the dictionary would support this. Okay, it's always good to define our terms. Okay, how are clicks formed? I'm going to make this general suggestion, and then you can help me from there on out. I'm going to suggest that for the most part, clicks are not formed with evil intention. Oftentimes, cliques are people that are brought together because of what?
Mutual interest.
For instance, you have someone that's interested in antique cars, fishing, tennis, and they kind of get together, and there isn't anything, of course, wrong with that. What else can be the formation of a clique besides mutual interest?
It might be age groups.
Okay, it could be age groups.
Family.
Family. it's oftentimes people with compatible personalities. You know, there's some people just feel more at ease with someone else, and they seem to gravitate together, and which, of course, isn't bad.
The inflated spiritual state has caused a lot of...
Okay, now, let's, I think I know what you mean. He said inflated.
Yeah, in other words, it's tilted, you know, assuming a higher spiritual state than they rest in their summit.
Okay, and so they want what?
Recognition.
Recognition, or someone likes them, or someone under them. I see your point, and it can certainly be the beginning of a click.
Brother, could we take what this brother has suggested and relate it to 1 Corinthians 1, where you have the following men for certain reasons?
Right. And when it gets that far, it's definitely a click. Definitely a click. And we're going to go into this. This would be, when we get down here, to what's wrong with them. And then we'll look in 1 Corinthians and we'll see very definitely it often has a man for a leader. Now, they don't always recognize it, and it isn't always the fault of that man either. But I'd like to also suggest that people gravitate together that have common problems. For instance, parents of teenagers, or someone that has a particular bad habit. Do you ever notice that, maybe you shouldn't say it, but some assembly has...
See it, brother, man that smoke and the like, they get together
right.
And smoke
tonight. Okay. And you find that they gravitate together.
Yeah.
Or, for instance, I heard it at Emmaus one time, it's only two or three students.
You're back here, right?
We need a lot of discussion, right?
You're an arguer, huh?
Most of
you
only
here.
It
gives you a little space. I can kick them in the
shit. I'll probably need it. But it is true. Those that have mutual problems, they can help each other, or they can drag each other down. But there are these mutual problems that often are the beginning of a clique. And then to sometimes, cliques are formed by people that have mutual views on a particular subject, or a common cause, and oftentimes it's a very unique or controversial cause, and you find these men or women get together, and it can be the formation of these cliques. Any other thing you think of that starts these things? Because if we find out how they start, then we can find out more about the control or the healthy use later.
National origin in some assembly.
Okay.
Can I just stand here and listen?
You can, or you can sit whichever you like.
Oh, there's a place to sit over here. Very good.
I'll step on your toes if I move too much.
Well, the young people.
Yeah. Or Scotch background. I didn't hear that. But the thing that we want to see that the beginning of a quick is not necessarily bad. We have a social instinct in all of us that we need someone that we can confide in. And there's nothing wrong with it, as long as it's directed properly. But there is the potential there in any of these areas we've mentioned. Now, we do want to see, because before we find out how to overcome them, we want to see really what's wrong with them. And I feel this is the part we need to spend the most time on. In other words, if we don't think cliques are very serious, we're not going to be doing anything to prevent them in our assembly. But if we really see that cliques are not helpful, they're not healthy for the Christians, and we're going to do something about it. I want to suggest one, and then you'll be thinking of some. I'm going to suggest that doctrinally they're wrong. For this reason, they do not emphasize and they practice something opposed to the oneness of the body of Christ. And this is so essential. If you and I realize that the body is one, okay, let's have a couple of verses and look at them. Where do you find these teachings on the oneness of the body of Christ? All you theologians here?
1 Corinthians 12 is one of
John 17, that he may be one. Okay, let's just get enough of these verses. Some of me, so we'll know what we're talking about. Let's start in the Gospel. There's one on John. What do you mean, John 17? Good.
Our Lord says in verse 11, for instance, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. The unity of the Godhead is unique, and it can never be broken, and it is never transgressed by one of the other members of the Godhead, and we're to be likewise. And this is a prayer of the Lord, and he goes on as he prays to the Father in this great high priestly prayer.
Three times over.
That's right.
Three times over it mentions that they might be one. By the way, I think you can study this prayer of the Lord just kind of by the way. There's not too many requests in here. Not really too many. He does pray to keep the believer. He prays that the believer might be separated. He prays that the believer might be sanctified. But he does pray that they'll be unified. This is the desire of the Lord Jesus. Okay, that they may be one. Someone else mentioned, do you have a verse that speaks of the unity of Christ? Someone mentioned 1 Corinthians. Did you find the verse you were thinking of? If not,
verse 12 is what I remember.
Okay. Now, this is on the one body, right?
The baptism of the Holy Spirit into the one body. Yeah, right.
Right. Okay. I see which verse you mean. Okay. Read it for us.
Well, beginning with verse 12.
Yes.
For if the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. In verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him.
Right, and so you could go through the whole chapter. But just this point before we go to any other wrong, I say there's a doctrinal wrong connected with clicks. And we can see this. We're not practicing the oneness of the body if we're divided up into clicks. And this is very important, because any doctrine that's important is this: if we leave the torus, the impact, what God says about this subject, we're going to have other problems follow, and as we see, we'll have this in click. Okay, besides a doctrinal problem, anything else?
A spiritual problem.
Okay, and can you elucidate this a little more?
Yes, go for 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gives somewhat there. I just turned to it a moment ago. I didn't intend to, but I did. And it says, Paul says the first verse, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men. There you could read the rest of it, but I think that's...
Now, I'm not sure, and perhaps all of us aren't too sure which comes first. Probably they had the heresies because they were not spiritual. Probably not. It wasn't the other way that the heresies made them unspiritual. But as we'll see later when we see ways to change the situation, if we can see the Christians grow and develop, they shouldn't want these things, and I wouldn't think they would. Okay, how about when you have cliques in an assembly, is everybody in the assembly included in these cliques?
No.
Well, I'll put it this way. I don't think are there cliques, several cliques, of which everybody is a part?
No.
No, generally not. And what this generally means is there are some people left out in the cold. And just from the standpoint of Christian charity, it's wrong. The ones that need fellowship the most are the people that don't have the best personality, or they not a lot of fun and so forth. You know, those are the ones that are left out. It's the ones that, well, there's several examples of this, that play golf well or, you know, whatever. At the beginning of the clique, those are the ones that are included. But for the sake of the brother that needs fellowship so badly, you and I shouldn't have cliques. And so I think they're wrong just from the standpoint of Christian love. Partiality. Where do we read about partiality?
James.
What kind of cliques did they have there?
Rich man.
Yes. There were cliques of the rich. And don't kid yourself. We have them today. And we do need to be very, very careful. And someone that didn't have so much money is not included. And James, he uses some strong language. He says, when he condemns it, he says, if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. And he said, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. That's how serious cliques are when they're in the social strata of things. Okay, can you think of any other wrongs? I'm trying to get you to help me.
No, I'm talking about the music.
All right, tell me what you mean.
Yeah.
Some people like one kind, some another.
Some another, but some want to do all the playing on the piano.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, it's down to unkind.
Yes, and it's sometimes a matter of... eventually, some cliques doing everything in the assembly. And of course, this is wrong. Unfortunately, I look back and I'm very sorry some things have happened, some assemblies that I've been associated with. Sunday school teachers, black piano players, and so forth, all came from one or two families. Well, they were the ones that wanted to. But as we heard this morning, we didn't encourage the others, and consequently there was a little clique of workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so this can be certainly a wrong, because it discourages other Christians from doing things for the Lord. But I think the greatest wrong with cliques is this: the divide.
Yes.
And more, brethren, I feel that divisiveness is very, very... Can you give me some good verses on that?
Divide and devour one another, say to you that you be not consumed with
lying. There's so much in the Word of God concerning this. You know the passage, but look at Romans chapter 16. I was reading this again. Romans chapter 16. Then I want to discuss how that they are, can be divisive. That's me to watch my tablet on my left. look there with me at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. I'm going to read you what I had, because I probably would have read this anyway if we'd have been upstairs. After you have this competitive spirit that clicks often leads you, well, then you're going to have sad things that follow. Clicks can wrongly exert influence, and that's the thing. And when this happens, well, then you have political pressure in the assembly. And sometimes these cliques, and I hate to say it, but this is things I've learned and by experience in assemblies that I've been. These cliques can be very stupid. They use the telephone, special meetings, secret meetings. Now, they wouldn't maybe even admit it. Tactics that unsaved people use in lodges and so forth to get their own way. And really, these are tactics that have no place in the church. But cliques start these things. Cliques are the foundation of many, many divisions. And I think that's the real serious wrong with it. Three times over in the book of Corinthians, we've read two of them. Chapter 1, chapter 3, and chapter 11, I was thinking of the fact that just before the Lord's Supper, Paul condemns division. Corinth, with all its wrong, it almost seems that division were one of the worst. And I was talking to a brother, we were talking about the working of the Spirit of God in these last days. And while I may not live to see a revival in the sense that the Spirit of God will bring to salvation thousands and so forth, but I see one indication of the Spirit of God working in these last days. And there's a melting of the heart. And a bringing together in many, many places of Christians. And this certainly delights my heart. And then I told this brother, I said, that's why I like working with Christians. I feel that we need to have a united front. We won't agree with everything. But in spirit and love one towards another, you and I, as believers, should be together. And anything that divides is wrong. And this is particularly true in the local assembly. Some of the things that caused some of my gray hair is that the little splits in the assembly that I've been in. Oh, they're hard. And some of them you never get over. This was when I was a boy. When I was growing up, my mother and father died when I was very young, and I lived with an aunt and uncle. And in their home, they remembered the Lord. But the reason why they were remembering the Lord in his home is because they wouldn't remember the Lord that those over in the chapel. And you know why they weren't remembering the Lord that those over in the chapel? Well, it was these cups that the Lord said. Well, finally there was a bringing together. So that I think we just talk as friends. I know a lot of some of the old exclusive bread. The Lord is mellowing, that's what I was at one time. The Lord is mellowing their heart. And they're coming together. We have some that come to our assembly. I believe eventually they're going to come in fellowship. And this is the thing we're talking about. cliques are exerting my will at the expense of the welfare of the whole thing. And for that reason, cliques can be wrong. I got a couple other reasons why they're wrong. You want to suggest yours and see if there's any other way whereby you think cliques are wrong?
They're contrary to ministry.
Right. And I think I know what you mean, but would you like to express that a little more?
Well, they say, and that's in essence, I have no need of thee.
Mm.
And they exclude the responsibility of love, loving encouragement that brothers and sisters all need and that we have a debt to. That's a debt that's left unpaid.
Right. And this is another thing that I appreciate about these workers' conference. There are men here that have a whole lot more gifts than I, and yet they let me have a workers.
Workshop.
And we appreciate one another at a time like this. This is good for us. But as Robert says, there are some assemblies that somebody just stays home if someone's on the platform.
Mm-hmm. Let me suggest something else, Robert. You, brother, may not have come across this, but I have visited it, where the assembly was absolutely divided into two sections.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely spoiled the remembrance meeting.
Uh-huh.
It spoiled it. Here's why. You may not believe this, but I saw it. Witnesses. If one man from one group gave out a hymn, the others who sat over the others, I wouldn't sing. Now, you'd hardly credit it. You and I was either strangers, and I'm singing with them all. You know what I mean? And one gave out here, the rest of the other side would not sing. And then if one gave out on the right, you say, well, the rest would mumble. You know what I mean? They'd mumble, but they wouldn't sing. Now, likewise, if one brother got up from the one side to read the scriptures, the other couldn't open the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not credit that, but you see, as you said, brother, it's a sign of carnality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where could you have spiritual worship when you have I told one brother, I said, Luke, brother, it's no use talking about division if we're going to start a new assembly way the other side of the city. I said, that's not division, you're already divided.
Mm.
The only difference is you're meeting under the same roof.
Yeah.
But that was the same thing as the division was there, you see. And it was all because of,
anyway.
Mm-hmm. Who is the father? Let's get basic. Who is the father of division?
Yes.
Satan is the father of division. And as such, if you become a part, you are a partaker with Satan. As a Christian, you are a partaker in his nefarious, dirty, underhanded schemes. And that's his business, to divide, to conquer. And if, while we're on the subject of cliques, get into the preachers too, brother.
Okay, we're coming to that because I believe that every single message, this is a workshop, but it's a message, then should be applied to the local listeners, not to people somewhere else. And I think we should before we're through. How does this apply in some areas? And I have some thoughts in mind. Let me, you had your hand before.
I was wondering, it may sound a little naive, but would an elders' meeting be considered a clique? I mean, is it exclusive in our assembly?
Well, I think here's the difference, and this is one thing that's often been brought up. Turn with me to Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. That's a good question. I'm glad you brought it up. It could not only be an elders' meeting, but it could be a committee. Are the ones that are running this conference a clique? You see, this is a question. Does the smallness of a number necessarily mean a clique? Look at Acts 15, you all know the background, so we won't need to go into it. But you remember there at Antioch, some of the Judaizers says, unless you be circumcised, you can't be saved. In verse 2, wherefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, and they determined the assembly here. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up to Jerusalem. Now, not all the assembly could go. It was just a few went up from Antioch. They should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And then it tells about they went to Samaria and the blessing that happened in their ministry there. But when they get to, in verse 4, when they get to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. And there was a reception. They knew the life and the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. They appreciated it. And it says they received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise. Now, but look at verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. So there's this little group comes from Antioch, and they meet with the elders and apostles at Jerusalem. Isn't that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, is this little body a clique? And this has been a problem to many, so I was thinking it through. And I suggest that it wasn't very positively for these reasons. Number one, these were men who by their lives and ministry had proven themselves and were accepted, you see. But not only so, of course they were burdened, and this is why they were there. And these were the ones, of course, that were brought together. But not only so, these men were not apart, separated from, I should say, the others in the assembly in a clique. But these men represented the assembly. And that makes the difference. These were representatives of the assembly. And these were ones that were given definite responsibility in this particular area. For instance, here we have three fellows here. For 25 years, Terry, David, and I have worked together in camp work. We meet together before camp and plan it and so forth. But we've been trying to get others to work into this. And there's nothing exclusive or a circle within a circle. But it's ministry that God has given to us and responsibility that we've taken, but we're willing to share. And that's not a clique in any sense of the word. Does that help? I was glad you brought that up because other people have asked me this. Excuse me.
I hear the Pharisees are trying.
Now, that was the clique. They were those that came outside and tried to stir up trouble within. And that was the clique. But that would be different than the others.
Add one word to that.
Right.
Because the Pharisees are so many times in the scriptures, they try to create, like, I think Satan is working too.
I do too. But you notice, if you still have the 15th chapter open, it says they wrote letters in verse 25. There was a unanimity. It says in verse 25, it seemed good unto us with one accord. And this was not only them, because when you get down to verse 28, it seems good to us the Holy Spirit. This is a... And this would never be true of clique.
No.
And this is the difference. Okay, I have another suggestion as to the wrong, because we've got to get on to how to overcome this. Brother McNeil mentioned this, but often cliques will put up a particular man as a figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you agree with me, but I don't believe those in 1 Corinthians were actually Paul and Peter. But he says these men represent the. This is. I'm just using these as a figure. Some of you have a good question. Chapter 4. I should read that. Some of you have a question on your face, and I don't like to leave it that way. Look at chapter 4. And so Paul is just saying, supposing you're all centering around me, and Apollos, he says in 4 and verse 6, he says, these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake. I'm using us to, as an illustration. It was wrong to center their attention and have Paul as a figurehead and Apollos. How much more some of those little fellows that didn't want anything that were their figurehead. But you'll find in clicks there's going to be someone in.
Where was that last scripture?
1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Okay, so oftentimes these various clicks will. And by the way, God very definitely tells us that we're not to think of men. Although they're off, they ought to think, this is what's happening, and that's wrong. But I would like to leave this one thing with you. Clicks leave a loophole for those that are dissatisfied, disgruntled, to stir up trouble. And all through the Bible, I don't care where you go, Old Testament, New Testament, God condemns sowing discord among Christ. And if you have a clique, they're dissatisfied and they're trying their best to make everybody else dissatisfied. A lot of times it's crazy things. Or maybe there's nothing there at all. I had a phone call from a woman one time, and she said they were having some meetings with a young couple. She said, I want you to come get this thing straightened out. Well, I said, what thing? Well, you know what the problem is. I said, no, I don't. And she said, well, you can see everybody knows. And I went over and over again trying to find out what she meant. And I said, you know what I think? I think you've got a wrong spirit of division. About 6 months, she says, I want you to come by and see me. And when I got there, she says, I want you to know I don't have a bad spirit, but I got something to say. She went over the same thing again and again. But what it was trying to stir up dissatisfaction. And sowing discord is one of the sad things about clicking. Okay, unless you all have something to add to three.
I add one thing.
Right.
What do you want to say? There's one aspect to this, brother. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. For example, back in the Old Testament, Korah set up a little clique against Moses. Shall we put it this way? Against the elders. And you know how God dealt with Korah and his company. Then you have the case of Absalom, who set up a little clique, stole the hearts of the people against his own father, David. And you know the outcome of that, how
right.
He perished. Brethren, it's dangerous. I tried to warn people about this time and time again. They don't seem to grasp it. But let's grasp it here this afternoon, brethren. In any local assembly, it's dangerous.
Right.
Let's get on to how to overcome it.
Okay. I suggest divide number 4 in two ways. First of all, I would suggest preventive and corrective. Okay. Now, very often, if you can use the preventive method, then you're not going to have to worry about your corrective, because these are hard, severe, you know. Well, what are some of the preventive methods? And I'm going to go over these quickly. We have just 15 minutes, right?
13.
Okay. And I want you to slip up your hand or speak out if you want to add something as we go along, because we may not be able to come back to all of these. These are what I consider preventive methods. I feel in the day in which we live, there's not enough emphasis on the truth of the church. And I believe in a lot of our assemblies, they have no conception as to the headship of Christ, the oneness of the body. You know, when you think of the oneness of the body, no matter where you look in the New Testament, I was studying Ephesians. The church is illustrated in what three ways in Ephesians? Okay. The body, the bride,
jumping,
and the building. Okay, when you have the building, the head is a corner. And that speaks to structural unity, you know? And Christ is the head. And if you and I have him as the head, he's going to draw us all together. We don't need cliques, right? And it's the same way when you have the bride, the husband-wife relationship. There you have, what shall I say, loving leadership.
Something has got to be experienced, brother, to understand. I know you have a difficulty.
I kind of felt, well, you need a little evidence. Some of you don't know that I'm not married. But anyway, but here's the point. Whether we've experienced some things or not, you and I can base our teachings on the Word of God. Okay, when it comes to, as I say, the relationship of the... And Paul says, I'm not just talking about husbands and wives. He says, I'm talking about Christ and the church. So you have the headship there. And then, of course, when you have the body, what do you have there? You have a directive. You have functioning. I've seen people that had a perfectly good leg. Nothing wrong with that leg. They couldn't use it. Do you believe that? They're stupid. They got a good leg at work. No, sir. I know some people have a hand. There's nothing wrong with the bone. There's a muscle system. No deterioration. But something has been severed from the brain and these members of the body. And they don't operate. They don't function. A person with a stroke or an accident, you know what I'm talking about. And that's the problem. If we teach the headship of Christ and the oneness of the body, and I'm afraid we're not doing it like we should. So that's one of the preventive methods. Another one is...
May I break in there?
Yes.
I won't take long.
Okay.
Romans 10 and 9. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as what?
Lord.
And I don't believe, we are on our pet subjects again, I don't believe that anybody can accept Jesus as Savior without accepting him as Lord. And I believe this is the headship of Christ.
I do too, and I believe that, this is putting it strongly, but I believe that cliques are a form of rebellion. And of course, you can't have rebellion if you have the Lordship of Christ.
Right.
And that's true. Okay, but
that remedy for not having those cliques is for individuals to read and study the Word of God.
Right. And that's what...
I'm not a preacher or nothing.
But that's... If there's spiritual growth, you're not so likely to have anything. Generally, if you're... this isn't always true, but oftentimes it's the people on the fringes, those that aren't growing and growing on to the Lord, those are generally the ones that you have trouble with your cliques. Okay, quickly, I found another point that I think is very important in preventing these. Often assemblies today are too large. Well, I shouldn't say that. Often assemblies today are large. And a lot of people are not having a particular social behavioral need that all of us have met. They don't know anybody, you see, in the assembly that they can really have fellowship with. And this need isn't being met. And I believe there are ways that we can remedy this. We find that if we divide our prayer meeting up into prayer groups, people can express themselves and share their problems, and this isn't a clique, because there'll be one prayer meeting, there'll be one group one time, but there's that personal thing that all of us need that's not being met in a lot of our large assemblies. I went to my home assembly in San Diego, they have 360, remembering the Lord, and I asked him, do you know so-and-so? No, I don't know. That guy not to have been in assembly 3 years. But these are people who just come to the Lord's Supper and but those needs aren't being met in a small way like they should be. And so what did they do there? They had, in the place of some of their ministry meetings, they had cottage Bible study. And they had it for 3 months. Then at the end of 3 months, they had a potluck supper for that group. And then the next time they had it, it would be fruit baskets of that, and they'd have different groups. And this need was being met. At Morgantown, for instance, we found there was a certain group of families that would go down to one of these fast food places after the meeting was over. And they themselves said, now, we don't really want to be a clique, but they were the ones that enjoyed going to the steakhouse, and, you know. And so what did we do? Well, we decided once a month, there at the chapel, we're going to have a little time of fellowship. So they brought in refreshments, and everybody shared. And that particular need is being met. A chance for all to intermingle. And Sunday school picnics and all of these things that some people think are old-fashioned, yet they're important. Okay, in hospitality, let's remember this. Jesus said, don't invite those that are going to invite you back. That's what cliques are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who should you invite? The servicemen that come into your family. The students that are away from home. That widow that's just been bereaved. But let me tell you this. That speaks sound with a lot of kids. They're never invited. Never invited. So we want all those young ones over there, you know. And so what are they doing? Mrs. So-and-so. And you may be guilty of this. There's certain ones that you go over to their house and they go, but Jesus says to invite those who what, can invite you back. And I think this is a correct, preventive measure. Okay, now the corrective method. And I'll have to go fast because we want to keep up with this man's admonition. I've got about 7 minutes.
No.
I said it mine by the. Okay. Let me read this to hurry along. If and when the potential becomes a reality, actuality, unquestionably, cliques have developed and become deep rooted in the assembly. What then? What corrective measures need to be taken? And frankly, I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to suggest 4 avenues of thinking that will help us. Number one, I should have learned these things early in my ministry, but I find that some difficult problems can only be solved by some in the assembly that